welcome to Road Talk, Navigating Your Journey, where it is our mission to empower Christians with boldness and courage in every place. This is Jacob Hawk, the host of this podcast. You may be sitting in your car in traffic, walking in your neighborhood, exercising at the gym, or just trying to relax after a long day, but we are thrilled that you have joined us to spend time in God's Word. For more content, writings, podcasts, and other materials, I invite you to visit drjacobhawk.com. May God bless you richly and have a great day. Well, I want to welcome you back to Road Talk, Navigating Your Journey. I hope that you are having a great day, and we are going to continue this new series, Because I'm Saved, with lesson number 2 in episode 123, Because I'm Saved, I Study. For a quick reminder, if you did not hear the first episode in this series, I'd invite you to go back and listen to episode 122. But in this series, we are talking about things that we should be doing as God's people because we are saved people. Many Christians will spend their entire lives worrying about if they're saved. But it's much better to live with purpose because we're saved. And that's the purpose of this series, is to lay out for us some things that we should be doing because we're saved. And as saved people, we need to be studying the Word of God. I want to ask you a question. Obviously, you can't answer live as you're listening to this, but just think about it. Whether you're walking in your neighborhood or driving in your car going down the road, do you think people know the Bible as well as they used to? Do you think people know the Bible as well as they used to? Why or why not? Some will question about how important Bible study really is. Is it something that churches should place an emphasis on? Should churches have Bible classes? Should they have numerous opportunities throughout the week for God's people to come together and to study His Word? Well, there are many passages in the Bible that I think would offer a resounding yes. It is critical for God's people to do that. Here are just a few of them. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light for my path. Lamp and light, both metaphors to help us understand you can't see where you need to go without God's Word. Jesus would say while he was being tempted by the devil, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Physical food alone will not nourish the child of God. He needs something else. He needs God's Word. At the end of his ministry, the night before he dies at the cross, Jesus prays in the Garden of Gethsemane, John chapter 17, verse 17, Father, sanctify them by truth, because your word is truth. Why should we study God's Word? It's truth. It tells us what we need to know and how we should live. The writer of Hebrews would say in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that the Word of God is living and active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. The Bible is not just some old document. It is living. It is alive. It penetrates us. It convicts us. And as we read Scripture, Scripture reads us. It reads our heart. It puts our lives under the microscope, and it says, you're either doing this or you aren't. One more, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Peter says that we are to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I would ask the question, how can we grow in the knowledge of Jesus if we don't know what His Word says? Well, newsflash, you can't. You can't grow without an understanding of God's Word. So is Bible study important? Absolutely. But another question that's just as important to ask is, what are good Bible study habits? If we need to be studying the Bible, how should we do it? And today I want to offer to you what I call the Psalm 1 Bible student. The Psalm 1 Bible student. David, the psalmist, would pen these powerful words in Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. David would say, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." What does it mean to meditate on God's Word? I've always encouraged people that when they study God's Word, they need to be asking three questions as they read along. Number one, what does this passage tell me about God? Number two, what does this passage tell me about people? And number three, what does this passage tell me to do? If you ask those three questions, what does this passage tell me about God? What does this passage tell me about people? What does this passage tell me to do? You will be meditating on the Word of God. The word meditate means to ponder or to practice. It doesn't mean just to read. And if you're someone who says, you know, I get bored reading Scripture, well, this is actually some good news for you. Because if you want to be someone who meditates on God's Word, you don't have to be a bookworm. You don't have to sit in a dark room under a lamp for hours on hours to meditate on God's Word. When you ponder about things you've read before, or when you practice the things that you've heard taught or things you've read, you are meditating on God's Word. And it's interesting that we can see Peter's progression of sin when he was not meditating on the Word of God, because he does exactly what the psalmist said would happen in Psalm 1. In Matthew 26:56, when he gets away from God, he walks out of the garden and flees the scene. In John 18:18, he stands in Caiaphas' court watching the events. And in Luke 22:55, he sits with the Roman guards like he's one of them. The psalmist says that those who do not meditate day and night in the Word of God, they will sit in the counsel of the wicked. They will stand in the way of sinners. They will walk in the way of mockers. That's exactly what happened to Peter. That's not a coincidence. So that's what it means to meditate in God's Word. What does it mean to delight in God's Word? Well, I think that's more self-explanatory. It means that you realize that it's the most valuable thing you can have in this life. I read a story one time about a teenage boy who was turning 16 years old, and he asked his dad for a car. All of his other friends were getting a new car. He wanted one as well. Well, his birthday rolled around, and on the morning of his birthday, his dad handed him a Bible. Needless to say, the young teenage 16-year-old boy was more than disappointed, and in his frustration, he threw that Bible in the corner of his closet, never to look at it again. Decades passed, his father had passed away, and the young man came back home to go through his things and to help his grieving mother. He went back to his bedroom, to his closet, and he found that Bible that he had thrown in the corner years ago on his 16th birthday. He opened that Bible, he began to flip through it, and sure enough, about halfway through the Bible, a single key dropped out with a note that said, "I got you your car, but I wanted you to cherish the Bible more, because the Bible has the answers for everything you're looking for in life." Do you feel that way about the Bible? That it has the answers for everything you need in life? Do you delight in God's Word? The psalmist says that those who do that, they are like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. You think about the region where David would have written those words in Palestine. It's a very arid, dry part of the world where it rains just a few days a year. People and plants are often dehydrated. But David says the one who delights in the Word of God always has their thirst quenched, and they prosper. Prosper doesn't mean that you're going to have the health and wealth life that televangelists will often promise. Prospers just means that your life gets better. And the reason your life gets better is because it's more in line with what God wants for your life. I heard a story one time about a man who could never get excited about his faith, and so he went to see his preacher. Asked his preacher, "What do I need to do?" And the preacher said, "You need to make an appointment." The man was confused, and so he asked his preacher, "I need to make an appointment with you?" And his preacher smiled. He said, "No, you need to make an appointment with God. You need to find a way to be in His Word every day." So the man went down to his local Lowe's and he purchased a rocking chair. And he decided that every day he would find time to sit in that rocking chair and to read from the Word of God. He would keep that appointment. And when his friends would ask him to join them for some random activity, if he had not spent time yet in that chair for the day, he would say, "I'm sorry, I can't make it. I have an appointment." Over time, day after day, after he spent time in that chair with God keeping his appointment, his faith, which seemed non-existent, became rock solid. As the years went by, he was diagnosed with cancer. He fought the battle, and eventually he died. But right before the day he died, he was still keeping that appointment. And his family said that even in his final days, in the worst of the worst, he never experienced more joy because he never missed his appointment. Life is busy. We have many obligations. We have many appointments. But our appointment in the chair is one we can't miss. Now, I'm not saying to go and buy a chair. If you want to, be my guest. And if you will, go ahead and buy two of them because I could really use a new chair. But what I am asking you to do, and what I'm asking myself to do, is to pick a time of the day that you'll never miss, to meditate on and to take great delight in God's Word. Because we're saved, we study. That's how we find purpose in this life. Once again, thank you for spending some of your day with me here today at Road Talk. Keep your eyes on heaven, and I can't wait to talk with you next time. God bless.